Latinist term. That's better. Now, it's of the highest importance in the art of detection to be able to recognize, out of a number of facts, which are incidental and which are vital. In this case, there was not the slightest doubt in my mind that the key to the whole matter lay in the scrap of paper in the dead man's hand.
But so little.
What was it?
At 11:45, learn what may be.
From these seven words, it was clear to me it had been written by two persons doing alternate words. There were, for a start, the strong T's of at and to, which contrasted markedly with the weak ones of 11:45.
But why should two men write one letter?
Well, obviously the business was a bad one, and one of the men, who distrusted the other, was determined that each should have an equal hand in it.
Ingenious.
No, superficial. You may not know that even the deduction of a man's age from his writing has been brought to considerable accuracy. A writer can be placed in his true decade with tolerable confidence. Now, from that scrap, I could determine that one writer was a young man, the other advanced in years.
Now we get there.
Oh, we get further. There was quite clearly something in common between the two handwritings. They belonged to men who were blood relatives. Now, that was most obvious in the Greek E's, but there were many small points which indicated the same thing.
All this from seven words.
I'm giving you only the leading results of my examination of the paper. There were 23 other deductions of more interest to experts than to you.
The shot that killed William Curlin.
Yes, which we called you in to solve for us, only for you to drag in Holmes, who entangles us, the Cunninghams of Reigate, I remind you. By God, if my mother was here, she'd have you trembling. Hmm.
It was a revolver that killed him. It certainly sounded like one.
Fired from a distance of over 4 yards.
Do these details matter?
All details matter, Mr. Cunningham. In your account, Curlin and the killer were wrestling together when the gun went off. That is impossible. His clothes would have been blackened by powder.
Oh, for God's sake, man, it was dark. It happened so fast, and I was witnessing a murder, which you said yourself can muddle a man. And I'm to be expected to remember exactly how far apart the men were?
We are trying to build an exact picture of what happened.
Using material given to you by a man who knocks over tables, asks about dogs for no good reason, and faints now and again.
Inspector Forrester, who will go far if he continues to follow my method, made one initial mistake. He began with the assumption that these county magnates have nothing to do with the crime. In the garden, he was about to tell them the importance of the letter. I thought it essential. They should not even be reminded of its existence. And so, to, change the conversation, as it were, I tumbled down in a sort of fit.
What? You mean all my concern was wasted? Your faint was an imposture.
I do apologize, old man.
Oh, you devil. I have to say, though, speaking professionally, it was admirably done.
Oh, it's an art which is often useful. Another little ruse, which I'm afraid rather embarrassed you, was my toppling the table in Cunningham's bedroom.
Ha ha ha. A distraction. A rather messy one.
I'm rather lost here, gentlemen. You see, Mr. Acton, I was now sure young Cunningham had torn the letter from Kerwin's hand and almost sure he must have put it into the pocket of his dressing gown, which he was wearing at the time of the murder. I'd seen it hanging behind the door in his bedroom. I upset the table, and while everyone, including, I'm sorry to say, the good doctor here, was picking up broken glass and scattered oranges, I slipped back to Alex's room, and there it was. Yet more incriminating script.
The picture I now have of these two crimes, the burglary at Mr. Acton's and the murder of Curlin, is this.
Pictures in your vulgar little mind don't interest me.
Eric, please.
Please what? Grovel to this shabby nobody.
The picture is this. Two men broke into Mr. Acton's. Their intention was to steal some document which might be significant in a lawsuit.
Oh, God. Shut up, Father. Don't interrupt the inspector in his fantasy.
Unable to find the document, they carried off whatever they could lay their hands on to make it look like an ordinary burglary. William Curwin, meanwhile, had secretly followed these two men, and having got them into his power, proceeded to blackmail them. One of the two criminals was a dangerous man to play games of that sort with.
Dangerous, eh?
He saw in the burglary scare that was convulsing the area an opportunity to get rid of Curwin, who was decoyed to a certain place at a certain time, and then shot him.
And do you dare to insinuate that we are those two men?
I don't insinuate. I accuse.
Accuse away. As I've said, you'll pay for it. You have no proof.